Lions fans, it's time for the podcast you've been waiting for. The show where Kool-Aid runs blue, faces turn red, and rose-colored glasses never go out of style. This is the Detroit Lions Podcast.
Merry Draftmas. Today we're talking about interior defensive linemen. Okay, so again, we're not going from top to bottom for a guy from each round. I'm just going to talk about guys I think the Lions will like in the draft. Nobody really knows where anyone's going, particularly outside the top 50, 60 picks. So, like, what do the Lions need? Thing one that they always care about is stopping the run. Guys who do that are the guys that they're taking. If they could do, at least early, if they could do something else, excellent. This is a spot I don't really think they're going to go at 29, partially because I don't think there's going to be somebody worth the 29th pick there. And when I say that, I am saying that I think Byron Murphy, Jerzan Newton, and Darius Robinson are all going to be gone. And I do think the Lions would be one of those teams that was telling Darius Robinson to kind of bulk up, and we will use you in a way that fits that skill set at that size. So I think that's kind of what he would be to them, is sort of like a more interior-based Kaminsky, if that makes sense. Lions fans love Braden Fisk, but sixth-year senior, that's always a tough one to take super early. Like, later, for sure. Love the guy. Does a great job. But pick 29, that's a little rich for my blood on that one. Other things here. Brandon Dorlus. He's like Josh Pascal. And Riz says that makes them less likely to draft him. I disagree. Like, on this one, I think Riz is wrong. And I don't say that to be disrespectful, because, like, I love Riz. He's an awesome guy. I'm basically saying that I think he's wrong because I also think Brad Holmes was wrong. And I think the team is going to have enough wherewithal and self-scouting to figure out that they may have misjudged a guy in the draft process and use him in a way that fits what he actually can do better than what he's been doing, if that makes sense. I think the team has the self-scouting capacity to do that. A lot of teams don't. Gotta give Brad the fuel to the fire where I can. There have been two picks in this regime, all of the picks that they've made, there have been two that I didn't like, and Josh Pascal is not one of those two. What I'm saying is that Brandon Dorlus is what the Lions thought Josh Pascal could be. And I say that in the context that Pascal was one of my draft crushes that season. So what is Dorlus? He's 6'3", 283, Raz over 9 is a defensive tackle. What was Josh Pascal? 6'2". 268 with Raz over 9 as an edge. The way that they have used Pascal is kicking inside a lot, and he did do that in college, but you can do that at that smaller size without getting injured. And I think Pascal has, if nothing else, proven to us at this point that he's pretty likely to get injured if you ask him to do that. Like, they ask him to be a workhorse, not a flamethrower. And he was an obscenely athletic guy, so I've never understood why they would do that. But they've been asking him to do things similar to John Kaminsky, who, by the way, 6'5", 286, Raz over 9, that's what he came out as at the Combine. So basically what they did is they took a ridiculous athlete at the edge, which is what Josh Pascal is with that relative athletic score, and they made him bulk up so he could kick inside. And he's been constantly hurt, and he hasn't shown anything to indicate that he can be that guy. Like, we're talking 22 games at this point that he has actually played in, and we have yet to see what you expect from a second-round pick. I don't think he's a bust or anything like that. I think they just need to relook at how they're utilizing him and see if maybe there's a way they can make him more productive. But you know who could be the guy that they want him to be? The bigger and slightly longer Brandon Dorlus. he's basically a Kaminsky clone. And they really do need someone to give the commish a break, or he is going to involuntarily end up taking one at some point that none of us are going to be fond of. Like, you don't want someone with this job to be taking more than half of your snaps on defense. But you do need someone to do this job on more than half of your snaps on defense if you're running the scheme that the Lions are. So you need somebody to take that pressure off of John Kaminsky, basically. And thus far, that guy hasn't been Josh Pascal. Brandon Dorlus could do that. Another guy who could do that is Michael Hall out of Ohio State. You guys are probably familiar with his work. You should go kind of in a similar area. Probably not pick one, more like pick 2-3, that range. 6'3", 290, Raz over 9. You may be catching a theme here in terms of what I think the Lions are looking for in terms of defensive linemen. Hall is basically, in terms of what he does, kind of like a Levi Onwuzurike without the back injury. Like, Brad Holmes doesn't like him. I can't think of a single question I would like to get an honest answer about, then why? Because I think that his view of the differences between those players would be a learning experience for me. LSU's Mekhi Wingo, I say no to. He's this year's undersized guy with no anchor that people seem to think is going to be able to get on the field, despite the fact that he's going to be a complete liability against the run. I would be shocked if the Lions took that guy. Not even going to talk about Sweat, other than to say that I don't think the Lions would take him as an undrafted free agent with zero signing bonus. When someone shows you who they are and it doesn't match what they say, that is terminal for this front office. You are done. Gabe Hall out of Baylor. I kind of like the prospect. I think he's basically Broderick Martin. I don't think you do that 2 years in a row. Christian Boyd does cool things in pass rushes for a guy out of Northern Iowa. To use an old Maddenism, he puts moves on moves. And Madden was usually talking about a running back who had broken 3 or 4 tackles on the play when that one would trigger. But this is a nose tackle that I'm talking about. Like, you'll see things you love from this guy, but then you look up who he's facing, and it is a 19-year-old FCS center that he's doing these things to. But, like, that's not his fault. He just buries the kid that he should be burying if he's an NFL prospect, and breaks the running back in half. One thing is, he really sells out when he's trying to get past a guy, and it costs him gap integrity at times. Like, he can kind of be led to one side or the other. If his assignment says that he's supposed to take that gap, you can get him to go a little wide. But every time anyone ever said anything good about Isaiah Bugs as a Detroit Lion, that's what he was doing. But also every time anyone said anything bad about Isaiah Bugs, that's what he was doing. Take that as you will. The Lions loved Bugs right up until they didn't. And then he went to KC and got a ring. So that is a useful player in the NFL. Depends on whether the Lions want to go down that train again. Texas A&M's McKinley Jackson is a guy that I have loved all year. 26-inch vert and being 6'1 is something that may concern the Lions on this one. If they don't go that route and they don't like that player, that would be the reason why. But if you're looking for a backup DJ Reader, McKinley is basically the same guy in terms of the prospect. So, like, if you want a second one of those, is your dude. Sometime on day 3, that's the guy you want to take. So, like, if you want a guy who's going to be your complete replacement for that in 2 years, this is the sort of player that you would be drafting. Like, I think Martin is a big, strong guy, but he's a very different player from DJ Reader. So I'd kind of like this just as depth to have that role continue in the event of an injury, which I don't think they can right now because they don't have a second guy who does the same stuff. The Lions are going to love Duke's Dwayne Carter, the person. I'm not so sure they're going to love the player. But if he falls into like round 5-6, hey, why not? You always bet on the guy, right? He's an archetype I don't like. He's the aggressive guy who kind of loses the play in front of him as soon as he engages with somebody. Like, as soon as he gets his hands on a guy, he's focused on that guy, not what's happening past that guy. And I don't know that that works with what the Lions do particularly well. That's the reason I say they will love the person. I'm not so sure they'll love the player. He's also going to be 24 when the season starts. But the Lions have taken plenty of older prospects on day 3. again, you bet on the human. Carter's a good bet as far as that goes. Great locker room guy. Impeccable reputation in the community. I'm going to miss this one. Justin Ibuigbe. Actually, I think I did okay on that. If the medicals check out, I think he's a guy the Lions, if they don't grab someone else early, we'll take a look at. He's one of those like tough, versatile defensive linemen who played for Alabama, which we know Holmes loves. maybe you're not like, but because of the medical stuff, maybe you're drafting him hoping you get 5 years. He stunts like he's been shot out of a cannon. Like this would be a, we want to help Aiden Hutchinson get to the quarterback kind of pick, because this guy basically will take a guard and shove that guard into a tackle. And then neither of those two are blocking anybody. In loops Hutch, quarterback goes down. That's a thing the Lions love to do. At least have at times against certain teams love to do. So that's why I think that this guy might potentially have a role with the Lions. Chris Jenkins, Michigan. You guys know who he is? Like I've said a couple times, none of these aren't actually in order. It's just kind of a list of guys that I would like the Lions to draft, because I think they fit as far as the person and the skill set what the Lions do. 6'2", 299, whereas just under 9, 34 charms. It's going to come in handy. The Lions have kind of had a threshold around 30 inches on their vertical leap from their defensive linemen that they draft, not the ones they sign in free agency. Once they've seen what a guy can do, they're not really looking at combine stats. But in terms of the draft, they do like guys who have kind of enough explosion to get that high off the ground. What Jenkins does that I like is that he stacks and sheds super well. Like he will stand a guy up, and if the ball carrier is going this way, so is Jenkins, which is a thing that a lot of defensive linemen, like those guys who lock on and just stick there, that's what they're doing wrong, is they're trying to push their guy. They're not trying to get around or get through or get past. They're just moving him, which is great if you are someone like Sweat, who weighs 360 pounds and will be able to do that to almost anyone to a certain degree. But when you're 300 pounds and they're 300 pounds, it tends to not work real well. The weird thing about Jenkins is he has the athletic profile to be getting after quarterbacks, but he doesn't. Like, he's super athletic. And when you get a guy who's a super athlete that doesn't produce in college, you're kind of betting against history to a certain extent. But, like, Jenkins is also a grinder. Like, everything you read about this guy says, like, he's a lunch pail guy. He shows up, he works. And he has those high-end athletic traits. And it is not uncommon for Michigan players to not put up stats and then come into the NFL and do a little better. Rashawn Gary would be a perfect example of that. That's basically the Lions defensive line criteria, kind of, in my opinion. It's like lunch pail guy with high-end athletic traits. If you are that and you are, you know, that's what they're looking for, generally speaking. It's what you read about all of them. And if you want to swear in your press conference talking about how you like to mess people up, they're going to love that too. The most amusing pick would be Justin Rogers out of Auburn. For really obvious reasons, if you follow Detroit media. And he is a guy who fits that same kind of like DJ Reader, McKinley Jackson kind of mold. He's from Detroit. So not that that really matters to this regime, but just one of those things, like he would be excited to be a Detroit Lion, most likely. He could stop the run. It's not impossible that he gets drafted, but that would be a guy who's probably going to be a UDFA. And that's about it. Honestly, in round two, there's like four guys I like, and then the rest of those guys are all round five or later flyers for me. And I'm just going to lump linebackers in today because I don't think the Lions should draft any. Like, they're five deep with guys who are going to make the roster. Maybe when you get late, it makes sense. Like, day three, whatever. Like, those picks, you just take a guy that you think is going to be good. So unless somebody falls, I'm not really hugely enthused about a linebacker pick this year. And someone who might is Peyton Wilson. This is a legitimate super athlete with a body made out of glass. But the Lions wouldn't need him to play 60 snaps a game because they have other players who can do a lot of things. So while other teams might run screaming from his medicals, depending on how they look, we don't know. The Lions might be looking at a massive performance bump over someone like Anthony Pittman if they were looking for someone to actually play in games, or even just for this year play special teams. Linebacker ratings in the draft have always been my kind of personal pet peeve because it's basically three rounds in terms of rankings of guys who have great athletic traits and nothing between their ears. Jack Campbell was different than that last year. That's why I loved him. He was in my top 25 prospects. Super excited. Might have been the only Lions fan who was when he got picked. everyone else was screaming things about positional value. Wilson's kind of my exception this year. He is a super athlete who does have it between the ears as well. And if you paired those two guys up and you could keep Wilson healthy, it would be phenomenal in 2 or 3 years. The linebacker I think the Lions are actually way more likely to take, because I think he'll go a lot later, is Jalen Ford out of Texas. Had a groin injury at the combine and his pro day, so his testing numbers don't look super great. His tape does. He was a team captain, played every game for 4 years, clearly studies the game. You can see that jump off the film immediately. Kind of like it did with Jack Campbell, where he didn't have to turn his shoulders to the line of scrimmage and run that way because he knew what was happening. So he had already started moving, could maintain his side, shuffle, and generally make the tackle. If you're creating a linebacker room, and stall me if this doesn't sound desirable, where guys compete to one-up each other in film study, Jack Campbell and Jalen Ford, in my opinion, are two of the guys you would want to have in that room. And that's basically it as far as guys that I'm going to put any kind of flag up for in linebackers. They have a good room. They don't really need guys. They don't really need depth per se in that regard. Like, everyone who's on the team is signed for multiple years. They all deserve spots in the NFL. I just don't think like a 6 foot tall, 225 linebacker is going to have a place on this team. And there aren't a lot of bigger guys who bring something to the table that the Lions need that they don't already have. That's it for today. Have a great day.
Let's bring it here together. Let's go. Let's go,
baby. Lions on three. 1, 2, 3. Lions!
You've had enough of that shit.